Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
And I'll tell you something else, too, is I cannot stand sissies.
You're going to talk about wrestling, that's redneck talk.
And guess what, Fatso? I'm the world champion.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to When It Was Cool Wrestling. I'm your host, Carl Stern. Thank you very much for joining me in our rotation of classic wrestling shows where we deep dive into the history of professional wrestling personalities, time periods, and much, much more. Just have a fun time looking at the history of wrestling. We are around to the series I call From the Pages of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. And what we do here is we look back at history pieces, obituaries, biographies, Hall of Fame pieces, things like that, written by Dave Meltzer in the pages of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, as should be obvious here. And today we're going back to 2009. And this isn't as lengthy an issue as or a biography as normally we have here, so we may look at some additional sources as well. But we're going to talk about one of the most confounding, bizarre deaths of a professional wrestler that we've ever seen. 37-year-old luchador Abismo Negro was found dead March 22nd, 2009. Abismo Negro was a very recognizable AAA star. He had this great look. He was a really good worker. And he died under some very bizarre circumstances. Now, he was a guy who had a pretty well-known reputation for drugs and being messed up. And I once remember reading around just a short time before he died, he was like, nobody had ever seen anybody as messed up as he was at a show. So he clearly had some problems. As we all know about, you know, the socio-political scene in Mexico, with drug cartels and all that, there's no shortage of corruption and things going on that could lead to some very tragic endings for people. We don't know. Here, let's just jump into the story because this has a lot of potential to go a lot of different directions. Let's talk about, from the pages of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, the death of Abismo Negro. This is from the March 30th, 2009 issue of the Observer. Andres Palomeque, that's the pronunciation I'm going to go with, Palomeque, was the only wrestler to have been with AAA from the start of the promotion almost consecutively, minus a few breaks due to drug problems, and still be a star today. Passed away after drowning in a river under strange circumstances, March 22, 2009. Palomeque, who is 37, was one of Antonio Pena's first major gimmicks, created at the first AAA show in 1992 as the Masked Dancer Winners, who frequently teamed with Rey Mysterio Jr. and Super Calo in mid-card high-flying trios matches against a variety of mid-level, good-working heel teams of that time period. He had a second career as Abismo Negro, the Master of the Tombstone Piledriver, and briefly wrestled for WWF in 1997 and TNA in 2004 with that gimmick. He was scheduled as one of the headliners on AAA shows, scheduled on March 27, 2009 in Fresno, and March 28, 2009 in Sacramento, and March 29th in San Jose. Palomeque was found dead at 1:30 p.m. that day in a river in the small town of El Rosario in the state of Sonora in Mexico. About 12 hours earlier, while on a bus that was going from Mazatlan to Mexico City, about an hour into the trip, he suffered a panic attack on the bus and demanded the driver let him off. At first, since it was dark and they were in the middle of nowhere, the driver refused. Palomeque then physically attacked the driver and used the controls to open the door and then left the bus. The last the driver and passenger saw was Palomeque walking through the weeds wearing a number 95 Pittsburgh Steelers jersey of retired defensive lineman Greg Lloyd, his wrestling ring tights, and wrestling boots. The bus driver alerted police in Esculapa and told them what happened. Since he had disappeared in the weeds in the middle of nowhere off a highway in the middle of the night, a short time later, Palomeque contacted his wife, Blanca, by text message, saying he was lost on the side of some hills near Mazatlan. She called Vicente Martinez, the wrestling promoter in Mazatlan, who called police, who immediately organized a search party. It is believed he walked not all that far from where he was led off near the outskirts of El Rosario and was walking over a small bridge that was 12 to 15 feet above a small river. He may have stumbled or had a heart attack and fell off the bridge in the muddy water. Local coroner Jesus Lopez, who identified the body as Palomeque, ruled that he had an anxiety attack that he believed may have been caused by anabolic steroid use. AAA sent announcer Arturo Rivera to a small town and said he was told that Palomeque suffered a heart attack and fell into a muddy puddle. The autopsy revealed he died from asphyxiation from drowning. The state of Sinaloa is said to be the heart of the major drug cartels in Mexico. Palomeque had one of the worst reputations of major stars in Mexico for having drug issues, and over the last year was both in rehab and had been fired for frequent no-shows. 2 days before his death, he had no-showed the AAA TV taping in Ciudad Morado without calling or contacting anyone. He was booked for a TV taping that night in Monterrey, but the bus going from Mazatlan to Mexico City was going away from Monterrey. The death has hit Mexican wrestling scene very hard, as that industry hasn't built up the tolerance or acceptance of young wrestler deaths like the rest of North America. Just last week in Super Luchas, Ernesto Ocampo, when writing about the death of Andrew Martin, who we talked about on our last show when we did this series, Andrew Tess Martin, spoke of how Mexico has not experienced the type of tragedies in its wrestlers that the U.S. has. It's still hard to explain the phenomenon because it's not like painkiller use or steroids is foreign to wrestlers in Mexico or Japan, although the massive bodybuilder types like were staples on the U.S. scene, particularly in the 1980s. The original Granda and Conan have both been at death's door in recent years. Generally, the wrestlers are smaller, but the style is every bit as physically demanding, in some ways more, and the schedule the top wrestlers work in Mexico is far harder than the U.S. But as far as active main eventers passing away at a young age, you'd have to go back to Oro and Love Machine, Art Barr, in 1994, as far as big names dying young. Promoter Antonio Pena died at 53 in 2006, but he was not a young man, hadn't been an active wrestler since the 1980s, and had been in poor health for some time. Angel Azteca, who passed away at 43 in 2007, was wrestling on occasion but was no longer a star, and El Tejano, who passed away at 47 years old in 2006, had been in poor health and hadn't wrestled for some time. Born Andres and Yajaro Palomeque Gonzalez on July 1st, 1971, in Veramosa, Tabasco, Palomeque moved to Guadalajara as a teenager to learn wrestling under famed trainer Diablo Velasco. He debuted at the age of 18 as Pequeño Samurai and later just billed as Samurai. He was a natural athlete who picked up the sport fast and was soon a regular on CMLL shows in the city using the name Furrer. As Antonio Pena and Conan were making plans to start AAA in 1992, they were scouting young wrestlers working in different cities to debut under a variety of gimmicks he designed. On May 15, 1992, at the first AAA show in Veracruz, Winners, coming out to the same music the Los Angeles Lakers were using at the time, teamed with Super Calo, another masked dancer named after a popular Mexican rock band, Calo, and Rey Mysterio Jr., against Psicosis, who was Mysterio Jr.'s training partner, Heavy Metal, who at the time was actually viewed as having the most potential of all, and Poquito. On April 30th, 1993, at the Plaza de Toros in Mexico City, before a sellout of 48,000 fans, still the largest crowd in the history of Lucha Libre, for Conan versus Jake Roberts match, winners in Calo and Saucero beat the trio of Rudy Renea, May Flowers, and Baby Sharon in a prelim match. That would be the Exoticos team. It didn't take long for the instant stardom to lead to problems, and Palomeque developed a cocaine problem early on. Winters was a mid-card star during a period when the promotion was on fire. Probably the peak of his career under that gimmick was in 1995 when Antonio Pena promoted three different Triple Mania shows built around the feud of Angel Mortal and Marabonta versus Winters and Calo, with only one man emerging at the end of the series with his mask. Ironically, that one man was to be Winters. First, Calo beat Mortal, and then in the main event outside of Guadalajara on June 18, 1995, Winters beat Marabunta in 23 minutes, 26 seconds in a mask versus mask match that drew 19,500 fans despite a rainstorm that hurt walk-up. Winters used Antonio Inoki's octopus submission for the finish in a 4.5-star match, overcoming the antics of heel referee Tarantes. The two shook hands, and Marabunta handed Winters a bloody mask. This led to the Battle of the Tag Team Partners on June 30, 1995, in Ciudad Morado in a mask versus mask match before 16,300 fans at the convention center. However, his drug issues had started getting out of hand, and he no-showed a card between the two dates. He then showed up late for the big match, and there was a question if he was under the influence when he arrived. Pena called an audible on the day of the show, made the decision that Calo had earned the win because he had surpassed Winters as a star and could be trusted. Calo won a match that was good, but nowhere near the standard of the match expected. Winters stayed around through 1996, but was no longer a major star. In late 1996, Pena created the heel character of Abismo Negro. The original Abismo Negro, played by the wrestler who had used the name Perro Silva, wasn't very good, and the gimmick wasn't getting over. With the Winters gimmick having run its course, Pena put Palomeque under the hood in early 1997. Although Silva was the Abismo Negro who worked the undercard of the 1997 WWF Royal Rumble pay-per-view from San Antonio's Alamo Dome, even though most sources reported it as Palomeque. Palomeque worked under a different mask in the opener on that show as Monaco, teaming with Mosco de la Merced to lose to Venom and a 17-year-old Perro Aguayo Jr. He did work a few times on Raw in 1997 when AAA and WWF had a working relationship. The gimmick took off with Palomeque under Abismo Negro costume, and he was a solid main eventer by 1998, and in teaming with Cibernetico, headlined many of the company's biggest events of the past decade, and during some of that period was the best worker in the promotion. He was known for blowing fire as well as El Rey de Martinetti, or the King of the Tombstone Piledriver, the most devastating maneuver in Lucha Libre. The original Vipers group consisted of Cibernetico, Abismo Negro, Mosca de la Merced, Monaco, the second version, and Hysteria, who at one point was super crazy but was also later replaced. Los Vipers feuded with the other top stables of the time before doing a split with Cibernetico and Abismo Negro. Abismo Negro headed Los Vipers Extreme and feuded with Cibernetico's Los Vipers Primera. The group reunited with Antonio Pena, copied the NWO angle of WCW, forming a group called the LLL that would feud with AAA, AAA. During this period, he formed a regular tag team with Electroshock, twice winning the Mexican National Tag Team Championship. He won the 2000 Rey de Reyes tournament on March 5, 2000 at El Torreo in Naucalpan in a four-way over Cibernetico, Alibre, and Charlie Manson. He also won had a second feud with Cibernetico that year, headlining two big shows. In early 2004, Abismo Negro, Hector Garza, Juventud Guerrera, Mr. Aguila, and Heavy Metal came in as Team Mexico to TNA for the America's X Cup, where Team Mexico was put over. Abismo Negro and Guerrera beat Teddy Hart and Jack Evans of Team Canada in the finals to win the tournament. They were brought back later that year to work the World X Cup. But in recent years, his drug issues were getting the best of him, particularly after the death of Antonio Pena on October 5, 2006. He was in and out of the promotion on an endless cycle of making money, disappearing, getting fired, sometimes going to rehab, coming back, and starting the cycle all over again. He was used as prime exhibit A for a while when it came to explaining the lack of discipline, as he'd no-show dates but always be brought back. A heel character called Dark Abyss, which is the English translation of Abismo Negro, was brought in to feud with him. The plan was to build for Abismo Negro to beat Black Abyss in the 2008 Triple Mania main event, but he started no-showing and the match was canceled. Dorian Roldan had just brought him back, and he worked his last match on March 15, 2009 at the Rey de Reyes show in Guadalajara, where he worked a four-way with Black Abyss, Latin Lover, and Dark Oz. And that is what Dave has to say about Abismo Negro in The Observer. And since it was a relatively short biography there, let's go over to a couple additional sources. This is what Wikipedia has about his death. Palomeque was found dead on March 22, 2009. His body found in a river near the town of El Rosario. According to a bus driver who was transporting Palomeque and other passengers to Mexico City on Friday night, March 20th, Palomeque became agitated, panicked, and demanded to be let off the bus despite it being 1:30 in the morning. A text message he sent to his wife after leaving the bus confirms that Palomeque found himself lost on a dark hillside. After receiving the text, his wife contacted local pro wrestling promoter Vicente Martinez, who organized a search party. On the morning of March 22, 2009, Palomeque was found floating face down in the river. Afterwards, medical expert Jesus Enrique Castro Lopez stated that such an anxiety attack could be steroid-related, but Palomeque's alleged steroid abuse has not been confirmed. An autopsy was carried out on March 23rd, which determined that the cause of death was drowning and no further investigation into the death was planned. A memorial was held in Mexico City on March 24th for friends and family of Palomeque, many of whom showed up without their mask on to keep the focus of the event on Palomeque. His body was subsequently cremated, with the ashes being taken to Velo Hermosa to be buried. On Saturday, March 21st, while Palomeque was either lost in the hills or already dead, someone worked as Abismo Negro on a AAA show in Cancun. In the past, the wrestler known as Black Abyss had worked as Abismo Negro when Palomeque failed to show. But this time, Black Abyss was not the man behind the mask. He was on the opposing team that night. Following the discovery of Palomeque's body, the deception in Cancun received national coverage in Mexico, and the local promoter responsible for the show, Renan Martinez, was suspended for 2 years by the Benito Juarez Boxing and Wrestling Commission. Wow, that's an interesting side note we didn't get from Observer there. Wonder who that was under the mask. Probably maybe somebody we don't know or whatever. On October 26, 2009, AAA held the Torneo Abismo Negro in honor of Palomeque. The tournament was a seven-man gauntlet-style match. It included a mix of five AAA veterans and two Abismo Negro students. The participants were Cuervo, Black Abyss, Gato Everetti, Kempo Dragon, Joe Leader, Extreme Tiger, and Relampego. Relampego, Abismo Negro's last student turned professional, won the match after 48 minutes. The event was not televised and did not become an annual event. During Triple Mania 17, there was a moment of silence in memory of Abismo Negro. Antonio Pena and Mitsuharu Misawa. Misawa had died the night before that Triple Mania, so had a moment of silence for all three of those. And let's see here. I got one more here. This is Bleacher Report. I hesitate to use Bleacher Report, as they've stolen some of my content in the past, but nevertheless, this is from Scott Beebe. Presumably unstolen content, July 11, 2009, mourning the tragic death of an unnoticed international wrestler. Andres Alejandro Palomeque Gonzalez, better known as Abismo Negro, was declared dead on March 22, 2009. Never heard of him. I hadn't either until I did some research and I found out that he worked for WWF, TNA, CMLL, and AAA throughout his career. Palomeque was found face down in a river in the town of El Rosario. According to the bus driver driving to Mexico, so all this is, oh no, this seems like this article, as is the case with Bleacher Report, just parroting what was already written in the Observer. So if we get any new details here. Let's see. Talks about them being winners early on in his repack. I mean, this is literally seems like it's just a rewrite of the Observer article here. Palomeque was married to his wife Martha for 15 years. He leaves behind 4 children. Okay, so we didn't previously know that information. His memory will forever live on as a member of the roster in the new AAA wrestling video game that will be coming out soon. Okay, I guess we didn't know that either. So, I mean, I very well remember Abismo Negro at the time. I mean, again, he had gotten some publicity there in WWF, having been. And I always found it interesting that he was on the Royal Rumble undercard, but he wasn't Abismo Negro. He played a different character there. And then he come into TNA, of course, with that World X Cup thing that was pretty well received at the time as well. He had a very starkly impressive looking character. I mean, he had a mask, kind of in a lot of ways. It sort of reminded me of Pentagon Jr. in that he wore a mask, but he also wore face paint under the mask. So he had this mask that didn't cover like his nose, mouth, and chin area, but he painted that like a bright white. And against the colors of his mask, it looked pretty impressive. And then he would do the fire-blowing gimmick and all that. So he was a very visually, starkly impressive, memorable wrestler just based on his appearance alone. And his work in the ring was very, very solid as well. Well, that is from the pages of the Wrestling Observer newsletter by Dave Meltzer, the life, career, and times, and unfortunate, tragic, and strange death of Abismo Negro. And there's plenty of Abismo footage, Negro footage on YouTube. I do encourage you to check it out because he some of that stuff is, quite frankly, pretty good. And a lot of those names we mentioned at the time, I mean, they're going to be big stars. Rey Mysterio Jr., obviously, Psychosis and Super Calo and some of the others. Many of you remember them from ECW and WCW and brief tenures in WWF and certainly in AAA when it was, you know, at one of its high points. These were very well-known, very, very remarkable pro wrestlers. So the death of Abismo Negro, definitely a memorable character. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you'll go to my website, whenitwascool.com, and support us over there. We have hundreds of wrestling biographies, hundreds of wrestling history podcasts. In fact, in all total, we have over 2,000 podcasts in our archives. We're dealing not only with pro wrestling history, but with retro pop culture as well. You can get all that. Many of our shows are free. Encourage you to go sample those. Maybe if you're listening to them on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, something like that, if you'll leave us a rating and review, I'd appreciate that. But the biggest way you can help us and keep my website, whenitwascool.com, in business is to become a Patreon supporter. And again, you'll get instant access to that back catalog of over 2,000 shows. I've got an index. It's easy to look stuff up, easy to look up topics and different people. If you go to whenitwascool.com, click on the Patreon content tab. That'll take you right to, I keep that updated every time I put out a new show. So check it out. I think you'll find some fun and add some new stuff to your listening rotation if you haven't already done so. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll see you here again soon with another show. Hey, everybody. Carl here. I got a true story for you. The other day, I ran through the McDonald's drive-thru. Didn't have much lunch options, so I said, grab something here from McDonald's. So I grabbed just a standard meal there, one of their numbered meals. It was a double quarter pounder meal. I didn't upsize it or anything. Just got it as it came. $10. $10 for this meal. And look, the fries were terrible. You know how sometimes you get McDonald's fries are awesome, and sometimes they've been sitting there a minute and not so good. Well, there I was. $10 spent on this utterly unremarkable, not very good meal. That is literally 2 months worth of Patreon support at When It Was Cool. And we have 2,000 podcasts for you to listen to. Listen, I want you to just do me a favor. If you're not a Patreon supporter at When It Was Cool, I want you to go there right now, whenitwascool.com, hit any of the Patreon buttons, give me 1 month. Come on in, 1 month, $5. And as soon as you get in, I want you to just start downloading shows. Start saving them to your device, saving them to your computer, listen to them later. I want you to, quote, steal as much content as you can. Because I think you're going to really like what you hear. I think you're going to love the variety. I think you're going to love the fun. And I think you're going to come back for more. You're going to say, hey, that was the best 5 months I've spent this month. Surely better than that $10 meal I got through the drive-thru. This is what I want to do. And hey, we appreciate it. That big fast food chain, they don't care one way or the other. I promise we care and we appreciate it. Check us out, whenitwascool.com.